We start with prayer. Heavenly Father, this is Resurrection Sunday. Those of you who are here should know it as Resurrection Sunday. The culture calls it Easter, but it's Resurrection Sunday. Father, as we go through the text, we read the story, we pray, Father, that the idea of actually seeing the risen Christ is what we will take away today. Bless the reading of the word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to John, the 20th chapter. John chapter 20. This is the story. It's the same story as we just saw in the video. We're going to talk a little bit about what went on there. So the events we celebrate today started out in a cloud of sorrow and despair. Sorrow and despair. For 3 years, these folks have walked with the Lord, and they had great expectations that the Christ was going to be here. The Christ had come. The Messiah had come to liberate Israel. In the Jewish way of thinking, that's what the Messiah was supposed to do, is liberate Israel. And it had reached a pinnacle and a peak, and everything was going great, and they were in Jerusalem. Last week they came into town, and there was the triumphal entry. And then Jesus is killed on a cross. The disciples scattered to the four winds. They went and they hid. And in sorrow and despair, they tried to make sense of what had taken place. So as we pick up our story, Mary Magdalene, she heads to the tomb on the first day of the week, being Sunday. And you're going to see how she alerts the disciple. Now, keep in mind, it says the first day of the week. In Jewish culture, the Sabbath began on Friday night, and Saturday was the Sabbath. And then Sunday, you started a new week. So on the first day of the week, Mary goes to the tomb, and the clicker doesn't work as usual. In the first four verses, we read this. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and she went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and he said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Now, remember, if you go back and read the story, when Jesus is on the cross, Mary Magdalene is one of the last people to show up. She's one of the last people to show up at the foot of the cross, and yet she's one of the first people to show up on that morning. Although she was marginalized by society, she was a loyal follower of Jesus. And in the historical account of Jesus, every legitimate historian acknowledges that this event took place. You know, for a long time you'd hear, well, the Bible is a bunch of myths and stories and all that, but the scholarly work, even those who don't believe who Jesus was, everybody acknowledges that there actually was a guy named Jesus. Everybody actually acknowledges that this person called Jesus was killed by the Romans. And they also all acknowledge that, now listen carefully the way I say this, they all acknowledged that all of the disciples believed that they had seen him alive afterward. Now, why do I make that emphasis? They all believed that they saw him. You might say, well, you know, just because they believed it doesn't mean it's true. But you have to think this through. These were loyal followers of Jesus. 3 years they had walked with this man. They believed he was dead. That's why they all ran and hide. And like in the video, they're all in despair and all that. They actually believed he was dead. Now, what would change their mind? What could possibly change their mind? Somebody telling you that he was alive? Probably not. But they saw the risen Jesus. I have seen the risen Christ. And every one of those men went on, and at the threat of death, they maintained that they had actually seen the risen Christ. He has risen indeed. Even John, who lived to be a ripe old age, was persecuted. He actually escaped from prison after being boiled in oil by the Romans, and he survived that and he escaped. So even though he lived a long time, even he suffered persecution. So the ministry and message of Jesus, his life, his teachings, and his miracles are all widely accepted truth. Yet is the resurrection that is central to our faith. So how important is the resurrection? You know, there are actually Christian churches that kind of walk and talk the Christian faith and do good Christian things that actually say, we believe in Jesus, we follow his teachings. We don't really make a big deal about the resurrection because we're not really sure about that. Do you understand what they're saying? They're saying the resurrection, yeah, maybe, we don't really spend a lot of time on that. We just follow Jesus. Well, look at what Paul says. Let's hit this slide. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says this, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. The Apostle Paul says that basically what he's saying is the entire Christian enterprise hinges on this one thing. You could follow the teachings of Jesus all you want, but if you don't believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who died for your sins and rose on the third day and defeated death, if you don't believe that, there's a big question mark. Because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So the risen Christ is the whole everything in our faith. So we have to be sure about that. Now notice the resurrection accounts are written in all four Gospels. And the women are always the first ones at the empty tomb. So why is that a big deal? You see, in that culture at that time, women were second-class citizens. Women were not allowed to testify in court. Women would be the absolute last people you would have witnessing the risen Christ if you were making up the story. Remember where you are. You're in Palestine. You're in the land of the Jews. If you were using women as the witnesses and you're making up the story, right away, nobody's going to believe you. So the very fact that the women were the first to see the living Christ, the first to go and look at him and meet him in the garden there, is significant. It makes the story real. That's why the gospel accounts are so striking. The women are the first to the tomb. The women are the first to see the resurrected Christ. Now, consider their thinking then as Peter and John run to the tomb. You are completely devastated. Jesus has died. He's buried in a tomb. Somebody comes in and says he's not in there. So you take off. By the way, it's John that's writing this gospel. So in this text where it talks about the disciple that Jesus loved and Peter and the other disciple, he's talking about himself. So this is Peter and John. They're hot-footing it to the tomb. And what happens when they get there? Let's move that up. It says this, and then stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. This is John. Then Simon Peter came, finally caught up, following him, and he went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, this would be John, who had reached the tomb first, he also goes in, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Again, remember, they go in, and the grave clothes. Remember, when in the Jewish tradition, they wrap you up really, really tightly in these cloths. If someone had stolen the body, they wouldn't have stopped and taken the time to fold all the cloths. So it's another thing to consider why this is a true report. The Gospel of Mark especially highlights and emphasizes the fact that the Son of Man would be killed and then raised to life. And yet, despite his predictions, when Mary Magdalene came to the tomb of Jesus, she's horrified because the sealed stone has been rolled away, and she instantly concludes that the body has been stolen. Even the disciples go away, and they're still confused. By the time Jesus goes up to Jerusalem, by the time he goes through the triumphal entry, he has already told his disciples three times, flat out, I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to be killed by evil men. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried in a tomb, and I'm going to raise on the third day. No ambiguity. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to rise again on the third day. And so here they're like, gee, the tomb's empty. And they go away because it was so foreign to them. So foreign to them. You ever wonder what, with all the advanced statements about his death and his resurrection, why his followers would be so clueless? Because they hadn't seen the risen Lord. Hadn't seen the risen Lord. But that just, it doesn't even occur to him. But what about people today? I haven't seen the risen Lord, so I'm not really sure about that part. I don't have evidence of the resurrection, so I'm a little, I'm going to hold that over here, and I know the Bible says that, but for those of you in my church, you know it's one of pastor's least favorite words or phrases. I know what the Bible says, but. Because when you say, I know what the Bible says, but, whatever you say next is wrong. I know what the Bible says, but. I know what the Bible says. I know the Bible says that Jesus rose from the grave on the third day, but I don't have any evidence of that, so I'm not really sure. You either take God at his word or you don't. So in this situation, they're confused. We are, as a human race, we're kind of the same as they are. We might think of it this way. We seem to have spiritual cataracts on our eyes.